Keith, you began your recent piece in The Hill talking about United States' relationship with Europe, and you started your piece saying the basic fact of the matter is that Europe has no good alternative to making every attempt to salvage some partnership with America and Trump. What led you to that conclusion?
Well, I think it's both economics and security. I mean, when it comes to economics, in the world of trade, for lack of a better term, opposites attract, which is countries running surpluses need to match themselves up with countries running deficits, whether it's overall or in different sort of product categories. You know, China's running a $1 trillion merchandise trade surplus with the world. And they're running their largest, of course, with the United States, but they're running a big trade surplus, again, merchandise goods surplus with Europe. So if Europe were to try to match up with China, well, that doesn't make any sense. They're not going to be able to sell their stuff there because Europe is also a merchandise trade surplus country. With the United States, we're actually running a services surplus with other parts of the world. So in a way, there's a little bit of a balance for us that people don't talk about that much. But we're the country that's taking in these products from the world. Europe needs to sell them. They're not going to be able to sell them to China. China's already made a policy shift, made it years ago, to try to move up the value chain to be more high-tech products. I mean, I'm sure China would love to partner with Europe if Europe was making cheap stuff for Temu and Shein, and China was making all the expensive, sophisticated equipment. But that kind of gets beside the point for Europe. So the United States and Europe are more natural trade partners. Europe and China are not natural trade partners at all. So that makes no sense. And the Europeans, they simply aren't able to defend themselves. From a security standpoint, their militaries are completely atrophied. They've shown no willingness to truly build a larger defense capability. They talk a lot about it, but there's still a sort of a squabbling mass of different countries with different interest groups. So they're going to have a very difficult time replacing the United States on the economic front or on the security front.
President Trump, of course, here, Keith, is pushing real hard for Europe to begin paying more of the cost of their own security and defense needs. At this point, do they really have, as you pointed out, do they really have much of a choice but to start anteing up a little bit more? Because I think the president's very, very serious that America's still not going to have an open checkbook for Europe.
Well, I think that is a tough question because the Europeans are, they haven't shown any willingness. They've been hectored by American presidents for decades to do this. It's only Trump that's actually put some teeth behind it. And of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine has sort of brought to the fore what happens when you decide to unilaterally disarm yourself. It only brings trouble for yourself. They're learning that lesson the hard way. But I think that the issue with the Europeans is, in addition, is they've got a fiscal problem. You know, France and Italy have enormous fiscal deficits, enormous national debt. Germany is relatively low, but they have a constitutional brake on spending, but their economy is not growing, so they're not generating revenue to engage in more investment. And the Europeans are stuck in the euro. So unlike the United States, where we're able to borrow on our own currency, where we're able to expand the deficit when we need to, the Europeans are much more constrained by that. And one of the interesting things, and I wrote about this a couple weeks ago about Europe's problem with the euro, is when you're in this fiscal problem, where you're in this fiscal straitjacket, when you've got a stagnant economy and when you've got a debt issue, austerity is one of the worst things you can do. Sort of as bad as devaluing your currency is, and that's no fun either, it's far worse to engage in austerity. And the Europeans are going to be facing that unless they're able to expand their debt limit, which the euro restricts. It's kind of, they're stuck in this fiscal straitjacket that's going to make it very difficult for them to expand on to meet their security obligations.
add to that the fact that Europe, particularly Germany, are very dependent on Russia for natural gas and energy needs. After the invasion in Ukraine, there were a number of sanctions that were placed on the Russians and a number of assets that were frozen. Europe is sitting on a lot of those assets. Why have they not cashed them in here, Keith, to use them to help with their fiscal dilemma?
It is the great underreported story of the last 3 years. The Europeans have about $300 billion in Russian assets. I think we're holding some as well. They're not cashing them in because they claim that it violates the sort of rules of international settlement or whatever nonsense that they're clinging to, as if invading another country and massacring people is following the rules. It seems pretty absurd. I personally think that the Europeans and their banking elites, they don't want to lose all the business from all the dictators and shady operators around the world that would happen if they cashed this in. So I think it's really just masking a self-serving purpose right there. But the Europeans should have cashed that money in a long time ago. I mean, they've proven that they're very weak on security, that they're not willing to make any tough choices, and it's put them in this pickle.
So we have this situation both economically and militarily with Europe. The further problem here, Keith, the Trump administration in dealing with it, there's not really one unified place to go. I mean, the European Union seems rather feckless. So who does Trump even begin to negotiate to get out of this situation?
I mean, that's another huge problem. I mean, Henry Kissinger once said, if you need to negotiate with Europe, who do you call? There's no one specific to call. Macron, the president of France, has tried to take that mantle on, but the other larger European countries get resentful of that. So I think it's a real challenge that there's no central decision maker. There's no consensus. And we've seen this problem in the last 40 years. And actually stretches back even further. Europe has shown absolutely no ability to satisfy any of its geopolitical issues without American help. And that's been the case for over 100 years. The United States has been bailing out Europe since 1917 continuously because they can't take care of their own affairs. And they've shown no ability to make that change. So I think Trump has really laid down the law to say there's going to be no more bailouts and Europe is going to struggle that situation.
Keith Naughton is principal of Silent Majority Strategies. He also writes frequently in The Hill. And Keith, how can folks find your writings?
You can find me on thehill.com. I'm about every other week on Thursday, so check it out, please.
Keith Naughton of Silent Majority Strategies. Keith, thank you for being here.
Thank you.